Praise God. I absolutely love that song. I appreciate the Lord's faithfulness to us. You know, I believe with all my heart that what God's people need, the overwhelming majority of the time, is not some doctrine, some obscure truth that we need to, you know, we're supposed to believe this or believe that. But it's the practical everyday stuff. You know, we don't eat something and say, oh, well, I've had that before. We eat things that are nourishing, that help us, that give us strength in the way. And I'm sure that you're like me. We need strength, don't we? We live in a world where we need to feed on God's Word and God's truth. Because as we have said many times, there are so many things we've heard many times and we believe them with our heads, but they don't make a difference in our lives like they meant to. And all week, most of the week, I've had a passage that we read so much on my mind and on my heart, and I'm just praying the Lord will give us a little bit of a deeper dive into it. And it's in Philippians chapter 4, extremely familiar. But I pray that no one here will say, oh, we've heard this 1,000 times. I can just kind of tune it out and say, oh, yeah, yeah. But boy, I wonder how many people are in need of this today. And, of course, let's just read a few verses here, and beginning in verse 4, I'll read them first. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Boy, think about what he's saying there at the end. Boy, don't we need to be examples? God help me, God help all of us. The Lord wants us to live in such a way that we can not just say, oh, here's what the Bible says, but, you know, I've learned some of this, and, you know, see how this works out in my life. This isn't just theoretical truth here. This isn't just religion we're supposed to believe and practice. This is reality. This is real life. This is daily life, because that's what it's about. And if it isn't about that, what is it about? Now, it's interesting what he presents there, the part that we read so much about not being anxious and the peace of God and all of that. What he's presenting here, you could say there are two different ways of living and thinking, two different conditions we can be in. And one of them is a state of anxiety, and the other is a state where we're experiencing God's peace in a practical way. And they are diametrically opposed to one another. Now, which part do you think God desires for us? I mean, what does he desire for us? Just to stay down here and struggle and wonder and worry? Or does he long to share his peace with us? Does anybody here think that God is worried? He absolutely rules and reigns. He has everything planned out. He knows the end from the beginning. He has a perfect plan. That's what he calls us into. Salvation is not just this legal ticket to heaven kind of thing. This is a plan and a purpose that he's working out in our lives here, right now, today, is part of it. He's working all of that out. He's in charge, and he's not worried. The problem is, we are. And God doesn't want us to live in that state. And, you know, don't be anxious. You can sort of put that in, or think of that in terms of, you know, something happens and I'm worried about it. In other words, it's an event. There's something that, and that's true. There are certain events that provoke that. But that's not really what he's talking about. Again, we've looked at this before. The sense of the Greek verb here, be anxious, is living in a state of anxiety. In other words, that's the characteristic of your life. And it's not like, oh God, I'm just like this all the time. But it's that everything that happens provokes that. That's our default response to life, is to be anxious, to be worried. And so what Paul is doing here is laying out a way where we can come from that normal human state to a place where we can experience peace and rest in our hearts. And I want you to think about who it was that wrote this, just for a moment. This is Paul, somebody who had been through hell and back in terms of serving the Lord. If you're talking about earthly experiences, he had a long list of things that he had been through: stoned, left for dead, you know, in prison, persecuted in so many different ways, hated by the Roman authorities, hated by the Jewish authorities, always in danger of his life. And yet he's the one telling us that there is a way that you don't have to live anxious about that, fearful all the time. All right? Does that make sense? Think about the one who's saying this. This is a guy who knows what it's like to face stuff that you and I will probably never face. And yet here he is saying there is a way that you can live with a peace in your heart and a rest about practical things you're facing in your life. Wow. I want to listen. I want to find out what in the world that's about. Because that kind of sounds important to me. Now, you know, one of the things that make us worried, well, first of all, the basic human condition is, who am I? What is my place in the world? How do I relate to this? How do I deal with life's uncertainties? Because we live in an uncertain world. We live in a world that is controlled and ruled, a world system that's ruled and controlled by wicked spirits that hate God and hate you. They'll do everything in their power to bring harm. And so here it is. We're trying to cope with that. And the thing is, part of what we need to get is to learn our identity in God. Who are we? If your identity comes from what people think of you, you're going to live a life of misery and anxiety, aren't you? Because you're never going to measure up. And God help us to get to the point where we can just let all of that go and say, it doesn't matter. I'm who God made me. He made me to know him. He loves me. You know, Paul, right before he talks about this, he says, the Lord is near. Is he near to you? Do you understand that? Or do you continue to think about God as somewhere? You know, I believe in him in this vague sense, but, you know, what does that have to do with me right now and here? No, the Lord wants you to know he's near. He's not somewhere else. The problem is we don't tap into that. We don't make the connection with God in the way that he longs for us to do. And so we're struggling along and not realizing he's right here. And how many of you struggle with the idea, with all kinds of the sense of who am I? I'm inadequate. He's going to expect stuff from me that I just can't do. I can't live this. I can't. I'm always coming up short. I'm such a failure. Now, of course, it's getting very quiet. The best among us deal with that all the time. We need to be honest and say, Lord, help me. I'm constantly, I have this sense that, oh God, there's a weight that I'm carrying that I don't have what it takes. He's expecting things that I just can't do. Well, get over yourself. We're all in that category. That's what salvation is about. It's about the fact that we can't do or be what God has purposed that we become. I'm trying to figure out how to put that sentence together. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. We absolutely need a Savior. I need one, but I've got one. Praise God. And we live with this sense, again, of a distant God. And how could he care about somebody like me? Oh, yes, God is love. But does that really relate to you here, now, today? How many of you believe that God loves you? I just pray that if there's anybody here, and I know there are, I know there's plenty of people here that would struggle with this. Does God really love you right here, right now? So this is not religious doctrine we're talking about. This is a truth that God longs to reveal to the human heart. Do you think we could possibly have peace with God and have a question about this? So how do we know? How did God reveal his love for us? Did he just say, hey, I love you? He demonstrated it. This is love that was put into action. When he sent his son to live in a broken world, to experience what you experience, what I do, all the things that make us afraid, he was here too. He can understand what it's like to live here and face life. But he didn't just do that, did he? He went to the cross. And we read how God demonstrated his love for us in this way. That he died, that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Now, you know, I think we need to take it beyond that in this sense. We can think of us in this broad sense as though, well, I'm kind of one of us, but I'm the black sheep here. How about we say this, he showed his love for me, and that Christ died for my sins. We have got to come to a place where it's personal. Oh, God, if we're ever going to get to this other state that he's talking about, the peace of God, we can't be in question about this. God has got to make this a revelation to your heart. Where we're willing to come and put our trust in him and believe in what Jesus did at the cross. The devil knows it. He is scared to death. You're talking about where anxiety comes from? The devil is scared. That's the spirit of anxiety in the first place. He is scared that we will get this. Now, I'm not saying anything we haven't heard 1,000 times, but have you heard it? Have you heard it in a way that makes a difference as soon as we say amen at the end of the service and walk out and eat whatever we're going to eat for lunch and go on and on through the week? Does this make a difference? Do we live more and more in a state of peace with God? Okay? And of course, all kinds of inadequacy. I'm not worthy. And we feel real virtuous for admitting it. Well, of course you're not worthy. I'm so thankful God doesn't base anything on my value and my worthiness because I don't have any. Praise God! He doesn't deal with me because of my ability to live up to a standard or to the law. He deals with me in mercy, gives me what I need. Praise God. The way into the peace of God is to believe his provision for me. I mean, to believe it in a practical sense. This makes a difference today in my heart and my life. I need him. But I have him because he's faithful. It's because of I look at the cross. I don't look at me. That's the problem. If you're anxious at all, you're looking at circumstances. You're looking at you. You think it's an accident that Paul goes on immediately to talk about what we think about and what we allow in our minds? All of this is connected. And think about a man like Paul who had been through what he had been through to be able to say, I have peace. Praise God, I'm enjoying my relationship with the Lord. I have peace. Yes, I'm in prison. Yeah, my circumstances are all over the map. I've had it good, I've had it bad, but praise God, I'm living in a different state of mind and heart than people around me. Wouldn't it be nice if people could see that in our lives and wonder, what in the world is going on? What's wrong with them? That they can actually have peace. You know, I've mentioned last week the example of Hudson Taylor when he had terrible news come to him from some awful thing that had happened at a distant mission station in remote China. And he just walked around singing, "I'm resting in the Lord." And the one who gave him the news said, "Wait a minute, did you hear me?" But wouldn't it be nice to be able to take in whatever comes and actually have a rest about it and realize God's still on his throne? We sing, nothing can happen outside of God's will. And then as soon as it does, something that happens we don't like, we fall apart. It's exactly right. God, help us to get hold of this. Do you think it's an accident that God wants us to get this? Paul saw the need in the people. He knows human nature. Jesus knows human nature. He experienced everything that we experience, except for the fact that he was never guilty of anything, but he had to face real temptation. He had to face real weakness, a life of total dependence upon his Father. He couldn't do anything in himself, is what he said. But there he was, faithfully serving God. Praise God. There's so much in this. I just pray the Lord will bring out what he wants. There's another area of anxiety that has afflicted me and I suspect many others at times. We could almost see a state that is really anxiety, a state of anxiety, as almost a spiritual virtue. Meaning, if I'm not anxious about something that matters, then it just means I don't care. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm supposed to really care about the situation, and if I'm not anxious about it, something's wrong. Oh God, deliver us. Do you believe that there's a way to carry a burden without anxiety? Do you think that Jesus cared in what he did while he was here? Do you think he carried burdens? Of course, he said, "My burden is easy," or "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." So there's a real burden that God means for us to carry, but it's not something we've got to, I just hope it works out. Oh God, please come down and help me. Please do this. Oh God. There's a sense of fear and uncertainty that gets in the middle of it, and God wants to deliver us from that. I believe with all my heart there's a place where we can be resting and still share the burden of God. Do you think Jesus, isn't that what Jesus did? Like I say, he went around carrying burdens that you and I can never imagine. He carried the weight of the world on his shoulders. And yet, he did it with his Father's strength. But do you think there was ever a moment where, I don't know how this is going to work out. Oh God, this is uncertainty about it all. Oh God, help me. Something to think about, isn't it? There's more in this than you just kind of, you could read right over this and just sort of see it in a somewhat superficial way. Okay, something's happened and I'm scared about it. I'm supposed to just go to him about it and he's supposed to fix it. That's kind of a superficial way to look at life and the Christian life. I believe God wants us to go deeper than that, don't you? So anyway, do not be anxious about anything. So God never wants us to yield to a spirit of fear and uncertainty due to our perception of the uncertainty of things. Rather, there is a relationship with God that he desires where we are so connected to him that we can look at a real need and not be paralyzed by the fear that tends to grip us about it. Because God is working all things, and he works through us. He shares his burdens, his concerns, but they are never, oh God, I hope I can work this out. Do I have what it takes? Am I worthy? And on and on and on, these thoughts from the enemy crowd in. And God wants us to get to a different place. Now, this might be a good place to throw in something about the peace of God. The peace of God, you could just think of that as an emotion. Okay, I'm supposed to have this emotion all the time. Well, is the Christian life one of a certain emotion? We live and we walk by faith. I believe there can be a peace down in our spirits. It isn't necessarily all, you know, with some sensible emotion that we call peace. But there's an interesting thing about the word that's translated peace there. It comes from a root. And that root means joined. Now you think of two people that are at odds with one another, right? There's a conflict. There's something that there's no peace. But what happens if that is totally resolved, the differences are resolved, and they come together and they are joined? Do you see where God's going with this? We need to be joined with God. Okay? Now, didn't Jesus say on one occasion, at least one occasion, he said, I and my Father are one. He didn't mean one person. I and my Father are one. But there was a total harmony between Jesus as he walked his daily walk and his Father. I mean, you could put it in the vernacular, say they were joined at the hip. But I mean, whatever the Father wanted is what he wanted. There was no conflict. It's not, I want this and you want that, and we'll somehow, you know, we want God to, and of course we'd like God to come down and do our thing and fix our problems. We think of anxiety as something that happens and it's not, and I don't like it. God, please come down here to fix it. And after you fixed it, I'm going to go on and live my life for a while, and if I have another problem, I'll talk to you about it. My God, if that's your relationship with him, you need a relationship with him. God has called us out of a broken world with a broken nature to fix us and change us and bring us into such a harmony with him that we want his will and not ours. God help us. God help me. I'll tell you, if we live in a state of unrest and uncertainty and anxiety, it's not because it's coming from him. It's the degree to which we are not quite joined to him. And he's not going to come down and compromise with us. He is who he is. He wants to lift us out of this and bring us into that perfect relationship where love, joy, peace, all those awesome things that are part of his, that are central to his nature, become ours. Praise God. Do you believe there's a place for you and me like that? Does God want us to grow and be able to lay hold of some of these things in a much more practical way than we do? I believe it with all my heart. I believe that's why the Lord put this on my heart. And I'll certainly confess that over the years I have struggled with anxiety when it's come to ministry. And it's something I've had to fight off. I'll come into a service. Do I really have something? Is this really what the Lord wants? Can I do it? You know, there's 1,001 questioning thoughts that tend to run through my mind. And I believe God wants to bring me to a place where I can genuinely seek him, genuinely want what he wants, but I can come in here with a rest and just trust him. God wants us to come to a place of trust and rest. Isn't that what Jesus invited us to enjoy? Learn from me. Well, we're called to learn from somebody who's been here and done it. As I say, face things we'll never face. But there he was, living among us and walking around, and things were happening to him all the time. There were threats and questions and everything in the world the devil came at him with. Do you think there was ever a time when he just yielded to a spirit? Oh, my God. I got a question. How's this going to work out? I just don't know. Or was he so connected to the Father that he was always able to stand and say, Lord, I'm trusting you. My rest is in you. My hope is in you. I know that you've got this. And I know that you're going to give me the wisdom that I need because I need it. You're going to be able to not only tell me what to do and give me a sense of what my purpose is here, but you're going to help me do it. You're not going to just dump a lot of responsibility on me and stand back and say, okay, go for it. You're going to be right there with me. I'm joined to you in everything that I do, so that it's not just me doing it, it's you in me. It's both of us acting. It's the Father in me, Jesus said, doing his work. That same relationship is what God wants, and that's what Paul is getting at here. It's a lot deeper than just the way we look at it. So he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Now, he says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, it almost sounds like it's redundant to say prayer and petition. What's the difference? Why would he use two different words? You got an answer to that? Why would he use two different words? We think of prayer as, I've got a problem, like I said earlier. Okay, I'm supposed to ask God to fix the problem, and then he fixes it, and that's it. That's the answer to prayer. Well, it can be, obviously, but that's a very superficial view. In the first place, the word prayer and petition, they are different. And obviously, you get to the place of petition when you're asking God about the situation that's arisen. But what's the prayer part? Think back to when Jesus answered the disciples who asked him, teach us to pray. How did he teach them to pray? Now, it wasn't a formula where you're supposed to say certain words, but the principles involved in what he taught them are critical, aren't they? How did he begin? Did Jesus say to begin with, oh God, I need this, help me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's gone that far into this prayer, hadn't asked for a thing. Not for himself. It's all about grounding my thinking and my will and my heart in what God is about. If I'm going to be joined to God, I'd better be in agreement with him. I'd better have my will laid down. I better recognize who he is, not just his greatness, but the fact that he's my Father. See, he's near, but he's my Father. He cares. He absolutely is intimately interested in you and me. And me, all of us. May God help us to get that in our minds and our hearts. Not just this. This is not doctrine, folks. This is life. How much does this define the way you and I live and think? And what God wants us to do is to have this constant relationship with him where prayer is communication. It's grounding my mind and my heart and my spirit in who God is and who I am in relation to him, and the fact that my life is not defined by looking for what I want. It's seeking his kingdom. It's wanting to see his will done. It's laying down my will. You know, before I start asking about situations and about needs, I better have my will laid down. You know, we get invested in the answer to whatever our situation is that we're concerned about and praying about. If there is a genuine need that arises, that's part of what he's talking about here. There's a situation, there's a need, and we can get so invested in how we think God ought to work it out. Are we really joined to him, or are we coming to him and doing what Jesus did? He would like to have avoided the cross. Is that right? Yeah, I said, if there's any way, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But what was the bottom line? Not my will, but thine be done. You know, if we're going to approach God, if we're going to have this relationship with God, it needs to be defined by these things. I am sold out. I get who I am. I get who he is. I get what my life in this world is about. It's not about living the way people do. Not living for the things and the values of this world. It's coming to that place where I just look to him And I want his will. And I'm in situations he allows me to be in, which the devil is trying to crowd in. He's trying to get a foothold in my mind and take away that peace. He wants me to be so, to change my way of thinking and get off of the, you know, this relationship where I actually have a real relationship of peace with God. That sound familiar? That sounding like we something we need? Praise God, I do. Boy, I can think of so many areas of my life where my default reaction is just to react to the uncertainty of something. Oh God, you know, what's wrong with me? What's, you know, how's this going to work out? Oh God, I'm supposed to have a burden about this. So, oh God, instead of, Lord, I know you care about this situation. I am so grounded in who you are and your heart that I can come to you with confidence knowing that your plan will work out, your heart will move forward. I just want to be in harmony with that, so you can use me if you want to. Maybe it's just to talk to you about it. Maybe it's to do something in prayer. Maybe it's to release spiritual energy that will go out and do something. You know, that's a big part of prayer. You know, the Lord gave me a message years ago about God's firemen. How we get connected to God and His Spirit flows into us, and there is literal power that goes out. Fireman doesn't put out a fire by, you know, just by talking to it. He literally has a hose that's connected to a source, and then he has to take and direct that. You can't just take an empty hose and wave it at the fire. I'll tell you, God wants us to be so connected to Him. If I'm connected to Him in the way that the Lord's Prayer begins, that's a good place to start, isn't it? Lord, it's not about me. It's about your heart. It's about who you are and who I am in relation to you. And, oh God, I want your will done in this world. And if whatever your plan is, that's what I want. I need you. And Lord, what's my place in it? Didn't Jesus say, I can't do anything by myself? By myself, I can do nothing. But I do what the Father shows me. You wonder why he could be in situations and everybody else around him is just going crazy, and he knows exactly what to do. God wants to get us more and more in that mold. It's not just for him, it's for us. That's what Paul's talking about. I want to be in a place where I can just, my spirit can be at rest, not thrown off balance by every little thing that comes along. But I can say, Lord, you've allowed this and you've got a reason. But I also know you're in charge. Show me my place in this. If it's to pray, if it's to speak, if it's to whatever it is to do. God wants to bring us to a place where his power can work through us according to his burden and not our anxious ideas about how things ought to be. We got a million ways in which the devil has tried to turn us aside and hinder this simple relationship, the peace of God. Peace of God guarding our hearts and minds. I need that, don't you? Praise God. There's a simplicity in this. And I just pray that God will help me to see in a deeper way. So prayer is one part of it. You begin with, let's get grounded. Let's talk to the Lord. And this is not just these special times. This is all the time. There's a conversation. You know, like Ricky was talking about a couple years ago, whenever that was. There is a conversation we can have with God where we're constantly acknowledging Him in all of our ways. What does it say? Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your paths, make your paths straight. There's that peace that we can live in a relationship that is defined by peace, if we will. So much of it is our choice. And I realize that some people are more naturally anxious than others, and it's a process of learning how to say, wait a minute, I don't have to live like this. Wouldn't that be a good way for good thing, a good reaction for us to have to a truth like this? This is too much a part of my life. I don't have to live like this. He's made provision where I can come. Praise God. Again, we have Jesus as the example. You know the scripture we often use in Hebrews chapter 5. All right, it's before James. Let's go here. Hebrews chapter 5, and it describes Jesus. And the point that the writer is making is that he's somebody that can relate to us. When God chooses somebody to minister to the people, it's somebody that can relate to them, not somebody who's never been there. Okay? Verse 7, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and interesting. He offered up prayers and petitions. Huh. With fervent cries. So sometimes there is some intensity. But does it have to be an anxious, fearful, I don't know how this is going to work out intensity, or is this a genuine, deep desire? You know there's a difference? Wouldn't it be good if we learned the difference? So we don't think we're spiritual because when we're really anxious? Something to think about, isn't it? Okay? He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Okay? Now that sounds strange to some people. What do you mean he wasn't perfect before that? Perfect means complete. There was a purpose in God taking him through all that he experienced in his earthly life, and that purpose was not complete until he had been there. We've talked in the past about how he was a tested stone. He wasn't just a stone. Okay, here's a stone. Let's put it to the test. He passed every test, but they were real tests. And he had to go to God, and God gave him the strength from beginning to end. But now all you have to do is back up a few verses into the previous chapter, and it says in these familiar words, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Doesn't sound like there's anything to be anxious about, does it? We got somebody who's sitting on a throne who's been given all authority in heaven and earth. We've got a God who is working out an eternal purpose that no devil can stop. Not saying anything we haven't heard, but God, does this really define our everyday life? That's the problem. That's what I see the Lord wanting to do in a deeper way in me. Anybody else? Am I just talking to myself here? I don't think so. All right? For why do we hold firmly? For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. He can identify with them, in other words. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. All right, so what's the result of that? What difference does that make to me now? Let us then, therefore, approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Anybody here need mercy? There's a reason that's what he says first. He doesn't want there to be anybody who says, I can't come because I don't deserve it. Get over yourself. I don't either. But I have the right to go past every earthly power and authority, every court, the United Nations, whatever you want to say that has to do with this, I can go to the Supreme Court of the universe and walk in there and be and know that I'm accepted. I can come there, and mercy is undoubtedly what I'm going to need a lot of the time. But it's more than that. It's grace to help in my time of need. If you're here, you got needs. If you're living an earthly life, we live in an area of need. But if I am literally joined to God and he's near and he's with me, we have this way of sort of visiting God on Sunday or visiting him during a prayer time or just kind of living our lives and then, okay, let's. But God wants us to walk with him in a much closer, real relationship. And I believe God can take people who are defined so much of the time by a spirit of uncertainty, unrest, anxiety, Am I handsome enough? Am I pretty enough? Do they like me? What do they think of me? All those kinds of things that aren't limited to young people, by the way. So many questions of life. Do I have enough money? What about my need? What about loved one who's gone their way? Oh God, so many needs. My God, so and so sick. How do I process this? Does anybody here really think that there's a God who doesn't care about any of that? Who can't give us the strength? Is there anybody here who thinks that God could ask something of you and is unwilling to give you what it takes to do it? A lot to think about, isn't it? Is this relevant to anybody's life? God wants to take you and me from that state of living with anxious uncertainty of any kind and bring us to a place where we are so joined to God that we can experience His certainty, His life, His faith, His wisdom. And sometimes the wisdom, you know, I said a while ago, our idea of prayer is to get something we want from God to make it work out the way we want so we can go back to living our way. God wants to bring us to that place where we are, again, connected to Him. We want His will. And there are going to be times when He's going to be silent and we come to Him in prayer. So what's that about? Does that mean I need to get anxious and say, oh God? Or does that mean I come to Him and I say, Lord, You know all about this. You're going to answer me when You want to, and it's okay. In the meantime, I'm handing this off to You. Aren't we told to cast our burdens upon the Lord? See, we can have real burdens that the devil tries to put on us, but we have the right to say, Lord, this is Yours. I'm bringing this to You in faith. You allowed this, but You don't mean for me to carry it in my strength and it produce anxiety and fear in me. I'm handing this one off to You. The ball's in Your court, Lord. I'm trusting. So I'm just going to rest and put it in Your hands. And when You want to speak to me, when You want to act, it's okay. Because I want Your plan, not mine. And if the answer that comes from Him is kind of like what happened with Paul, when he wanted that thing gone and the Lord said, uh-uh, there's a reason for it, but My grace is enough. Paul was more than okay with that. He was rejoicing and praising God. I got the answer. It wasn't the answer maybe my flesh wanted, but this is God's answer. And since my life is defined by serving God and wanting to help His people, if this helps me help His people, then praise God. But how many of us think that way? Kind of quiet, isn't it? How many of you think the Lord loves you anyway and wants to bring you to that place? He's not looking down and saying, what's the matter with these crazy people? Don't they get it? He knows where we're at exactly. He knew what He was getting into when He set out to save you and me. He's got a big job only God can handle, but He's well able to handle it. And like Paul said, He's not off somewhere. He's near. He's right here. When you're in your darkest hour and you can't sense Him, He's right there. Don't ever forget that He longs for us to do exactly the same thing Jesus did, to go to Him, spend time with Him, talk to Him. Whatever burden there is, cast it upon Him. Ask Him what to do. Ask Him for the wisdom. I guess I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but we need this, don't we? Is this something that's just for special people, or? This was for everybody. How many of you want to get to a place where this peace, this joined at the hip relationship with God, where we're one with Him in what we want and what life is about, and we're trusting Him with, there's a state of faith where we know that His grace is enough. We're called to live not by our own strength, but by believing in His, that it's there and He loves us, and there's a certainty about that. How many of you want to get to that place in a deeper way? Yeah. Well, here's what it involved. Prayer and supplication. Petition. Petition is when we're asking about something specific. But notice again, prayer goes before that. This reestablishing the relationship, getting our priorities, our thinking straight. So we're not just so buried in the moment and what's going on that we forget who we are and who He is. Let's get that straight. Now we can bring something to Him, and we're not just seeking our own end, our own will. We're bringing a real need, but we're laying it at His feet and saying, Your will, not mine. And I believe You are able to act according to Your will and plan. And not only that, I'm not going to just keep throwing it up there, throwing it up there, throwing it. I'm going to get to the place where I'm thanking You, Lord. I have handed the burden off to You to the point where now I can say, thank You, Lord, You've got this. And I am not going to sit here and worry about it anymore. And of course, everybody here knows all about this, and you're just doing it, and you're just bored listening to all of this because you already get it. The reality is every single person needs this. And if you're somebody who doesn't know the Lord, oh God, I hope you realize how much He loves you. How much He has done everything necessary to take your sins and mine to the cross. To put them away so that we can have a relationship with this holy, awesome God. Where from every legal standpoint, there's no one that can say that person has no right to be here because of what they are. Jesus has taken care of that. We have been made the righteousness of God in Him. To God be the glory. You have every right to call upon Him, not because of who you are, not because you're going to try to be a better person, but because you need a Savior who's able to deliver not just from the guilt of sin, but on an ongoing basis from its power. I need that. That's what's happening in our lives. But this simple truth here, my God, what a depth there is to it, to be taken from a person who's defined by anxious about every little thing to a place where I can just be at peace. I can even get bad news and just, Lord, I'm trusting in You with this. You knew all about this. None of this has taken You by surprise. And You're not sitting in heaven trying to figure out, worrying. You're not joining me in my worry. You're wanting me to join You in Your peace. And I have a right to do that and not feel unspiritual about it. I mean, if we really understood being what spiritual means, it's believing Him, resting in Him, trusting in Him. May God give us the grace to do that. And of course, it's obvious why Paul immediately goes forward and talks about how we think, because if we just sit there and allow the devil to dump stuff in our minds, to dump junk in there to think about and worry about, that's going to define us in a practical sense. We're going to walk around with a burden that God never meant us to carry. But we have a choice. We can say, I choose not to live an anxious life. But then what? Did I just empty my mind and sit there with an empty head? No, God wants us to think about good things, positive things. Think about Him. Think about what His purposes are, what His promises are, and allow that to define our thinking. I'll tell you, we can enjoy so much more than we have. And then again, Paul lifts up, like we said, his own life as an example. And boy, what an example it was for him to be able to write this, having been where he was and what he'd experienced. You think maybe this had some authority behind it? This wasn't just something he learned in Bible school and just said, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. This is something they had observed in him, a strength that was not Paul's. See, there are people who are more, you know, able to apparently to handle life, like Peter. If you're one of those that, I don't get scared, I'm fine, I can handle it, just wait. God's going to put you in a place where you realize you need Him. I don't care what your character, what your human characteristic is, we need a Savior. Thank God we've got one. So anyway, Paul sets himself up as an example. But he says, what you've seen in me, put it into practice. And then he comes again, the God of peace will be with you. That's where God's going with this. Is the God of peace with you today? In a practical sense, He wants to be. What burdens are you carrying? What are you worried about right now? What kinds of anxieties are just camped in your mind and you just can't quite get free? God wants to take that out of your mind and take that burden off of you and help you to realize that He understands your situation. He's got His plan. It's okay. The devil will make you worry, but God's not worried. I want to have more of that peace, don't you? And again, peace is being joined. God's not going to come down and join Himself to your anxiety. We need to be joined to His peace and His power and His love. So I guess that's pretty much the thoughts that I had. But anybody here need this? Yeah. Well, I'm going to raise both of my hands because, like I say, there, how many times I can think of going back when I was just anxious about the service. And I don't want to mistake not being anxious with not caring. I believe there's a place where we can care with all of our hearts. We can reach out to God with an intensity like Jesus did, but it's not a fearful, I don't know how it's going to work out and I'm worried about it kind of intensity. He can pour energy through us that makes a difference. That's what He's after. But if I'm mixing my anxiety into it, it's kind of corrupting the simplicity and the purity of what He wants. Well, all we can do is start where we're at. Do what He says do. But I'll tell you, before you jump in and say, "Oh God, fix this," we need to say, "Our Father who art in heaven." It's not the formula, but you get what I'm saying. Let's get reestablished who He is and who we are. And what I'm asking for is really not just what I think, but what You want. Your will be done. Then we're in a mental state where we can say, "All right, Lord, I got this situation You allowed. What's the deal here? Help me." And then we do it with an expectation, not with an anxious, "Oh my God, I don't know if He's going to listen to me or not." If you're basing it on you in any sense, you got a problem. I can't go to God and say, "God, I deserve You to answer me. I need You to answer me because whatever." I have no qualifications for that. Jesus is the one who qualified me to be a sharer in the inheritance of the saints in light. Praise God. Say, you could go on and on with this, but I think that's enough. If somebody else has something that needs to be added, the Lord's quickened, that's fine. If it isn't, there's no law that says we have to be here a certain amount of time, but praise God. Pray for the folks that are camping. We got a lot of them are gone, but may the Lord go with them and bless them, and may they come back stronger, not just physically, but spiritually. Praise the Lord. Lord's good, isn't He? Let's learn more about the God of peace and what it means to be connected to Him and disconnected from our anxieties. That's what He wants. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Good morning. It's a privilege to see everybody this morning. I didn't tell the church in Florida that we were coming, but I'm sure they would send their love, and we'll take some of y'all's love back home to them. But I appreciate this morning. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, and we'll start in verse 22. But here's a story we've all heard 1,000 times, but I think it's a perfect illustration of what's been said today, what God requests of us. So this is after Jesus feeds the multitude. "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side. And while He sent the multitudes away, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying," and listen here, what does He say? "Hey, y'all come over here." No, he says, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Isn't this a perfect illustration of what God is trying to tell us this morning? And every morning when we wake up, He invites us to do something impossible. Now, there's a storm going around as Peter is walking on the water. I'm sure he was wet, but he wasn't overtaken until he got his eyes off of Jesus. And I'm sure he would have been a little bit more confident knowing that the Lord was able to save him, you know? Every day when we wake up, God invites us. Come. He didn't say that we weren't. Life is messy, and there are real troubles around us, but He promises us a peace that we will not be overtaken by the sorrow in this world, and He makes a way for us to have that peace, to walk with Him. And notice, when Peter notices everything going around him and he says, wait, something's not right here. This is unnatural. And it's an unnatural thing that God requests of us. Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Unnatural ways for the human mind to think. And when Peter gets his mind on the circumstances, he sinks, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and he caught him. God understands where we're at, and He understands sometimes we get our eyes off of Him. But when we call out to Him, we can wake up in the morning confident, Lord, You're with me. You've made a way for me to not be overtaken by the circumstances, by the fears in this life. And even if I get my eyes off of You, I know I can call to You, and I know You will catch me and restore me. Praise God. Amen.